O'Neal fakes the three, makes the drive, kicks it out. Ingles, triple. Caught! He caught another one!
Yeah! NBA Straya. Hey, gun. That's right. It's NBA Straya. It's Monday, August 10. Monday. Tell you what. Jeez. All the days are the same, bro. Lockdown, man. Lockdown. Anyway, I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone. Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. Everybody. In the Orlando bubble there for the NBA. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of action for you while ripping Straya a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. NBA's back. A week of bubble action in the books. Ben Simmons is out. It sucks, but hey, we've got a massive weekend to talk about in weekend winners and losers, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old mate, no mate. Spud of the night, pants in the evening. Bet on Lonzo Ball because it's Monday. Dickhead of the weekend. Of course, we've got Yeah Nas, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. Got a very quick Australian player watch. A lot of DNPs for the Aussies out there. And because it's Monday, we've got an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. Nice. Plus, a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow, brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Straya. Go there for all your sweet NBA odds. I'm going to close off with a brand new deli review to finish it all up, which will be pretty fun. He's going to talk about Frozen 2. Nice. All right, let's get into it. NBA Straya episode 455. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. You better watch out for the injury bug if you're the Sixers. Jesus. Yeah, that's right. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the daily whip around. There it is. Big Simo Ben Simmons is leaving the Orlando bubble for surgery. They're going to fix the subluxation in his knee. There's some shit in there. Floating particles or whatever. They're like, right. How'd you get Benno? Go get this looked at. And he's like, all right. They're like, well, you can still probably make it back if we make the finals. Okay, good. But the big problem for the Sixers is Joel Embiid just hurt his ankle today as well. So they're fucked. We'll talk about that in Yeah Nas. And some sad news. Hall of Famer Paul Westphal has been diagnosed with brain cancer, which is a goddamn shame. Prayers up for Paul Westphal. Hopefully him and his family doing okay. That fucking sucks. Love Paul Westphal. In other news, Jimmy Butts, he's going to be back tomorrow versus his nemesis, Bubble MJ, TJ Warren. I don't know if you remember the Miami Indy Games earlier this season, Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren did not like each other. Remember Jimmy Butler doing like the circling on his IG the next game against the Pacers? That's funny. So that'll be fun. He hurt his foot, he reckons. So he should be back tomorrow. So that'd be fun as well. Other news.
The Lakers stink.
Still 2-4 in the bubble so far. It's pretty cool. Donovan Mitchell went live on Instagram while either nailing a hottie or watching porn. You be the judge. Don't know how he went live, but, you know, there's a bit of moaning going on there, Donnie. What are you doing, mate? Smashing in the bubble. Smashing something, I'll tell you what. We had a great weekend of basketball. We also had a great weekend of petty wars. If you remember Friday, we had Draymond talking about Devin Booker. Devin Booker basically, you know, needing to get out of that situation. Meanwhile, the Suns are 5-0 in the bubble. And Draymond then got fined $50,000 for tampering. Brilliant. Classic smart Draymond move. But the best petty wars to come out of the weekend was Dame Lillard versus Paul George and Pat Bev, where Dame said, I sent Pat Bev home before. PG just got home, sent home by me last year in the playoffs. This is after the two of them were chatting at him after he missed a couple of free throws late in the Portland Clippers game on Saturday. Paul George responded on Instagram, you getting sent home this year. Respect. And Pat Bev chimed in saying, Cancun on three. Dame responded saying, keep on switching teams, running from the grind. You boys is chumps. And then Paul George responded, respect that too. In my stint with my first team, I had more success. Dame time running out, G. What? Paul George, at what point did you have more success in your first team? I mean, you made an Eastern Conference. Dame made the Western Conference Finals last year. Paul George, you fucking stink. Shut up. But anyway, good job, Dame, because he then went to work today. We'll talk about that later. Dropped 51. And we officially have two playoff matchups now set. That's right. We've actually got playoff matchups done. We've got the Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks taking on the number 8, officially Orlando Magics, the Harry Potters, the hosts of the bubble. And then we have number 2 versus number 7 in the East as well. Locked away, the Toronto Raptors versus the Brooklyn Nets, which reminds me of 2014. Going to those games, that was fun as hell. And actually sitting in a bar at like 1 p.m. getting shit-faced with old mate in my Paul Pierce Brooklyn jersey as Paul Pierce won them a game 7 in Toronto. And then Masai Ujiri was all like, fuck you, Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn, got the last laugh there. Got a feeling Toronto might get the best of them this year. And the big news to come out of the weekend was that we have all the awards finalists announced. The top 3 of all of the, actual proper season awards MVP. We've got Giannis, LeBron James, and James Harden, which is a bit fucking weird. Would have thought it would have been Kawhi. Yeah. Considering Harden was shithouse for the last 6 weeks of the season. Anyway. Rookie of the Year was Ja Morant, Kendrick Lamar Nunn, and Zion Williamson. What?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
The fact that Zion made number 3 is fucking ridiculous, and you're all idiots. How is Tyler, There Goes My Hero, not on there ahead of fucking Zion or even Brandon Clark? The voters are fucking morons. This goes for most improved player. Luka Doncic, Bam Adebayo, and Spindles Ingram. That's a top 2 pick, a top 4, a top 5 pick, and a lottery pick. So good stuff there, idiot voters. Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert, the Stafford Tower. Nailed that one. Coach of the Year, top 3 finalists are Buds, Coach Budenholzer up there in Milwaukee, Billy Vegeta Donovan, and Nick Dilbert Nurse. Nice. Reckon Nick Nurse should probably win that. Or Buds. I think Buds was my pick. And Sixth Man of the Year, they nailed this one as well. Trez, Montrez, Harrell, Sweet Lou Williams, and Dennis Schröder, and German Krondo. Sixth Man. Nice. Good shit. So there you go. Not bad. Only big surprise is probably Harden over Kawhi. That's what Kawhi thinks of your MVP finalists. And as mentioned, the most improved, missing a couple of big names there, I'd reckon. Bam should probably win that though, shouldn't he? All right, let's do some weekend winners and losers, shall we? We've got a big weekend. We're going to fly through the wrap, but the weekend winners and losers is always fun. So let's get stuck in.
Oh my God. I won! Ah!
Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me. Ken Brockman.
Can we get a shot of me?
There you go. Another news. Nice one. All right, let's do some weekend winners. James Harden, fast Jimmy Harden. He's a weekend winner because he somehow got on that top 3 of the MVP. What the fuck's that about? Yes, there was a period of the season where he was actually scoring, 40 points a game, which is unreal. At the same time, he also had the last 6 weeks of the season when he couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn, played like shit, and then his team fell apart. I'm not entirely sure what's going on here, MVP voters. I mean, what the fuck, man? I mean, before I got to the bubble, we had a stretch there. Look, there was a couple of good games in there, obviously, but also we had a 12-point game against Minnesota, 17-point game against OKC. He basically averaged 28 points on 40% shooting from the start of January through to the end of the season before it stopped off. So, I feel like people might be a little bit enamored with the stretch where he averaged like 45 points a game for, you know, that sort of 2 weeks. But still, fucking ridiculous. But James Harden, weekend winner. Speaking of weekend winners, TJ Warren, because he is now officially the best player to ever play in the NBA. Well, at least he is the best player in the bubble, that's for fucking sure. And how's that? Oh, the Phoenix Suns, the best team in the bubble, they're weekend winners as well because they can't lose. They're 5-0. They've won 5 games in a row for the first time since December 2014. They're the best team in the bubble. And the best player in the bubble, TJ Warren, they traded away for nothing this offseason. That's unfucking real, isn't it? Other weekend winners, Luka Doncic. He's a golden god. How fucking good were Dallas on the weekend? It's about buddy time, bro. That's right. Instead of actually shitting the bed in close games, they decided to win one, which was nice. And of course, it's not one that I had any money on. Thanks a lot, Dallas. Anyway, but Luke was incredible. We'll talk about him later. Brooklyn, a weekend winners. As mentioned, the only team in the bubble. Well, they get past the Magic. They're number 7. They're taking on Toronto now in the 2-7 matchup in the East. But they are the only team in the bubble to beat the Bucks and the Clippers. They beat the Clippers today as a shell of themselves. Without their 9 best players, they beat the Bucks and the Clippers in the bubble. Man, they're the Buble darlings, aren't they? Love it. Denver, a weekend winners. They get Jam and Jamal Murray back. He was completely fucking gassed in this double overtime win over Utah. But wow, it was really fun to see Denver actually sort of get him back. First time he's been back in the bubble. To see him, Nikola Jokic, hello, and QAnon MPJ, Michael Porter, QAnon Jr., all going at once. They just look a lot better, tell you what. So that was nice. Denver got to feel good about themselves after that win too. Good stuff, Denver. Brett Brown is a weekend winner. Oh, but Jimmy, he just lost Big Simo Ben Simmons for the rest of the season, and Joel Embiid went out with a bung ankle. How's he a winner? Well, those two injuries might mean that Brett Brown gets to keep his job in Philly next season. You know? So I think that might be a bit of a win. Because just think, Philly are going to make the playoffs, obviously. If they extend a first-round matchup, maybe somehow, if Embiid comes back and they force their way to the second round. Regardless, short turnaround heading into next season, because this season is going to finish in October, and they want to start the 2021 season in December. With that little time to turn around, maybe conduct a proper thorough coaching search, there's a better than zero chance that the Sixers just go, fuck it. They didn't have Simo. They didn't have Embiid. We'll give Brett one more chance. Good on him. Oh, yo, gotta say it's, Brett, without Ben, nice. Carmelo Anthony is a weekend winner as well, past Paul Pierce and John Havlicek for, on the all-time scoring list. He's up to 15th behind Timmy Duncan. If he can score another 100 points, he'll get there. Go for it, Melo, go for it. And, speaking of Melo, Portland, a weekend winner. They lose a heartbreaker to the Clippers on Saturday. Pat Bev talks shit to Dame, PG, Paul George talks shit to Dame. Dame talks shit to everybody back, which is crazy and awesome. He unfortunately misses a pair of clutch free throws and a three. But still, they lose that game. But then they bounce back. He drops 51 on the Sixers today, and they're still right in it. They're going to force the play-in game. Good job, Blazers. Huge win over the Sixers today. Huge. Dame was incredible, so good stuff. But also, really, at the end of the day, who's the weekend winner? Us! I mean, what a weekend of basketball. We had the two original Canadian expansion franchises today, the Raps and the Grizz, wearing their 95 throwbacks. That was awesome. We got about 87 overtimes. Jazz Denver was absolutely fucking nuts. Just all of the games on Sunday were absolutely incredible. Clippers, Portland, Utah, Denver, Lakers, Pacers, Phoenix, Miami, Milwaukee, Dallas. Ah! It was great. And then today was really fun too. I mean, if you're watching Brooklyn Clippers, Brooklyn were absolutely fucking on fire. It was crazy. I mean, Philly, Portland was great fun. Boston, Orlando was great. The Spurs just sending the Pelicans home. Ah, great fun. Great fun. All right, that leads us, though, to weekend losers.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up!
Loser.
Loser. Loser.
Losers. Weekend losers. That's right. We have eliminations. Sacramento and the Pelicans are weekend losers. Boy, howdy. They're going home. They know they're going home. Mark Stein fucking started off a fucking firestorm as well. He's like, and with that, fucking Zion Williamson, his season is over. Well, it's not technically, Mark. Like, he's been eliminated from the playoffs. They've still got games to play, you fucking nong. Jesus. Anyway, other losers. Draymond Green copped that 50K fine for talking shit about, you know, Devin Booker for tampering, which is funny as shit. And then he responded with a bunch of emojis. Good on him. On you, Draymond. I feel like you should know better, but I'm never not going to be convinced that Draymond Green is the smartest dumb guy alive. He's not Kyrie smart dumb guy, but he's like a dumb smart guy. You know, Draymond, you should know better. Weekend losers, timekeepers. We had, what, 5 massive timekeeping fuck-ups during the games over the weekend, which were weird. There's like 3 alone in that Denver-Utah game, which is weird. What's really weird about it, though, is it's like over like a week and a bit into the bubble at this point. I would have expected, like, you know, we've put this entire fucking bubble together. The Bublé's come together. We're in Orlando. You'd expect a couple of fuck-ups in the first 2-3 days as you figure out everything. But no, we'll save it for some, like, pretty big moments at the end of games where the clock's just not running. What the fuck? It was so weird. Phoenix, a weekend losers. But Jimmy, you had them as winners. Yeah, just imagine how much better Phoenix would be with TJ Warren instead of just giving him away. Oh, but they needed the space to sign Bangers and Rubio. All right, yeah, like we couldn't have figured that out some other way. Anyway, but just imagine how good this team would have been if they weren't run by fucking morons over the last decade until basically this year. Like, just remember, this is a team that spent lottery picks on Alex Len, Dragon Bender, Marquise Chris and Josh Jackson in the past 5 years, all of whom are no longer on the team. Like, the lowest of those picks was number 8. That's 3 top 5 picks, and they're not on the team. They could be title contenders if they weren't such fucking losers there in Phoenix. Jesus. Killing me. The Sixers are obviously weekend losers. Not only lost Simo and Embiid, but winning that Portland game could have actually gotten them into a tie for 4th. With Indy Miami and maybe, giving them a bit of a chance against one of those teams in the 4-5 matchup. But nope, they obviously lose Embiid to the ankle sprain, which is a bit of a bummer. It was cool to see Josh Richo just go a bit hammer and tongs and average Al Horford. Look, it's going to be fascinating to see how the Sixers adapt to no Simo and now to no Joel Embiid. You do still have a fuckload of talent on this team. You've still got Richo. You've still got Tobias the Never Nude Harris. You've still got Al Horford. Just don't think it's going to be enough. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do with a proper coach next year, isn't it? Sacramento, as mentioned, weekend losers. They shit-pumped the Pelicans. They turned around, got shit-pumped by the Long Island Nets. Then with barely a skerrick of a season left, but a chance to continue their season, they got killed by the Rockets. Season over. See you, Kings. Just, they're a weirdly put-together team. They seem to make zero sense. They keep losing Marvin Bagley, who they could have had Luka Doncic instead of, but no. Vlade Divac figured he was smarter than that. And Sacramento, yet another season of being shit and forgotten about. And a ever-growing playoff drought for the Sacramento Kings. Speaking of playoff droughts, JJ Redick has now got one. His streak of going to the playoffs is over. 13 years! Should have stayed in fucking Philly, JJ. Went down shooting today, though. Only Pelican to look like they actually gave a fuck. 31 points, 8 of 12 from 3. So that's a weekend loser, though, for JJ. 13 straight years of going to the playoffs. Done. All over. And I'm going to put it down to these losers. These weekend losers. Brandon, Spindles, Ingram, Lonzo, fucking Ball, and Josh Hart, who have now snapped back-to-back playoff streaks of 13 years. Back-to-back years, they snap LeBron in his first season in LA. They go to fucking New Orleans and then snap JJ Redick's 13-year fucking playoff run. They're fucking losers. Like, at this point, you got to turn around and go, why aren't the Pelicans playing with more heart, more sweat, busting their hump? And then you look at Spindles Ingram with his sleepy-ass eyes, barely paying attention. Lonzo Ball bricking everything and Josh Hart just being a bit of a dick. You're like, yep, fuck these guys. Which leads me very nicely into the Pelicans. I mean, what the fuck are these idiots doing? They've been horrible from the get-go. Giroux and Lonzo have been fucking shocking, but the passivity of this entire team gets me. Like, Elvin Gentry's like, hey, man, I wanted these guys to come out like it was a game seven today, and they came out and shit the bed from the get-go. They were down like 14-2 from the start. I'm like, are you fucking shitting me, Pelicans? What the shit is going on? It's like, do you want to keep on playing? Because it very much did not look like they wanted to. So they are definitely weekend losers. They're eliminated. The NBA did everything within their power to get us a Pelican-Laker first round. The Lakers are out there looking like shit. It would have been great for drama. It's like, can the Pelicans knock off the Lakers? It's Zion versus LeBron after this. But nah, the Pelicans shit the bed. Like the proverbial bird taking a dump on the heads of all their fans. Tough scenes. Feel for my man Aaron Gox, the most high profile Pelicans fan in Australia. Tough scenes. All right, let's fly through some game wraps as well, should we? These are just going to be the results because I feel like we fanged through a bunch of these, you know, each day. And these are pretty old now, some of them. Right, Saturday we had Utah losing to San Antonio. No players on Utah. They rested everybody. Jingles only played like 17 minutes as well. No Donovan Mitchell, no Conley, no Gobert. The grind is real, though. So this is the weird thing about picking some of these games in the bubble. You never know who's going to play. We saw the Clippers stagger their... we've seen Denver rest like their entire starters down the stretch in actual games. We've seen the Clippers stagger Paul George and Kawhi. Their load management. It's just, you know, every other day you're playing games, you got a back-to-back in there somewhere. So, yeah, it makes sense. Anyway, San Antonio win that one, 119-111. Memphis beat OKC 112-92 to basically keep themselves in the playoffs. It was a huge win. And look, Ja Morant is a problem. We know that. That's awesome. But the rest of the Grizzlies, like if the Grizzlies, if the Pelicans played with the heart of the Grizzlies, they'd be unfucking beatable, I think, at this point, wouldn't they? Like, sure, with the OKC Thunder, Chris Paul, you know, they were basically full strength. You've got no Steven Adams, but you've still got Gallo, Paul, Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander. And they won. So good on them. Jago's 19. Dylan Brooks has one of the games where he actually hits some shots. And my name is Jonas Valanciunas, is really good too. So good win for Memphis. Keeps them in the playoff race. If they had lost that one, it might have been all over. Yeah, I mentioned that on Friday, I guess. But here we are. Brooklyn smoke Sacramento 119-106. Thanks to my sweet baby Carrots. Philly beat Orlando 108-101. The first game without Simo. Embiid really got rolling in the second half. He was just weirdly shit in the first bit. Anyway, Washington lost to New Orleans. The Pelicans kept their dreams alive at that point, 118-107, but the rest of the run, ew. And Boston beat Toronto, 122-100, in a really fun game where Boston really just looked like they had the measure of the Raptors, you know? Even though, like, this was basically done pretty early. Because they smoked him in the third quarter. Tatum was good. Brown was good. Kemba was good. Everybody was good. The Raptors kind of just stuck around for a little bit, but then they were just out. And you're like, wow, Boston just manhandled them. It's pretty cool. Sunday, we had the Clippers-Portland game, which is amazing. 122-117. Dame fucks up down the stretch. Everyone's laughing. Utah lose to Denver in two overtimes. Insane game. 134-132. Donovan Mitchell got massive buckets like four different times. Like two shots he hit in regulation were insane. The layup he got with 1 second left was just fucking nuts. Then the jumper that he hit in overtime, just get out of here. But Jamal Murray was awesome. Jokic crushed it. The time clock kept going out. Fun game. Really enjoyed that. Could go a seven-round series of that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Lakers lost to Indy 116-111. TJ, a.k.a. Bubble MJ, dropped 39, beat LeBron, so as the rule goes, he's now the four-time MVP. Miami lost to Phoenix, 119-112. Damn! Devin Booker had 35 in that one. And Dallas beat Milwaukee, here it's Algonquin for the good land, 136-132. Actually pulled out a close game. No one knows how. It was because of Luka. That was incredible. Giannis was awesome, also fouled out. Dallas scored 17 points in overtime, which is fucking crazy. Luka had 36, 14, and 19. Talk about that later. And then today, OKC beat the Washington Wizards 121-103. Toronto beat Memphis 108-99, meaning officially they have to play a playing game. So the It's like, oh, well, you've fallen this far back from the pack, so you got to play at least one. New Orleans lost to San Antonio, showing zero heart. I mean, Zion played pretty well, but I'm going to talk about this later. Dude, come on. Orlando lose to Boston 122-119, a wildly fun game. Jason Tatum saved Boston twice. They were down five here, back-to-back clutch baskets, got a block, forces overtime. Gordon Hayward had a great block on DJ Augustine. Talk about that. 31-9-5 for him. Tatum at 29-9-6. Great game for Boston. You know, look, they look shit at the start of the bubble. Kemba's playing a little bit more. Gordo's been good. Tatum's been much better after the first two games. And Boston certainly looked pretty good. Portland beat Philly, as mentioned, 124-121. Philly did it the hard way. A lot of Josh Richardson, a lot of Horford. Good on him. Portland just eke out the win. Dame, 51. Incredible game. Good on him. Houston smoked Sacramento 129-112. And Brooklyn absolutely beat the shit out of the Clippers 129-120, which was hilarious. Brooklyn literally couldn't miss in the first quarter. They hung 45 on the Clippers in the first, then slowly frittered the lead away in classic Brooklyn fashion until they settled late thanks to my sweet baby Carrots. Laverty had 27 points as well as a career-high 13 assists. Now, would you trade him for anybody to fill in the gaps next to Kyrie and KD? My answer is, unless it's Bradley Beal, fucking no. 39 for Kawhi. Yeah, crazy game for Brooklyn. Joe Harris just couldn't miss. And he had like fucking 15 in the first quarter. It was great fun. All right, the state of play in the West. We have the Grizzlies up a half game on the Portland Trailblazers. The Spurs are one game back of the Grizz. And the Suns are 1.5 game back of the Grizzlies as well. So the Kings are gone. The Pels are gone. If we want Blazers, Suns to play in, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Memphis has got to lose both of the last games. Suns have to win all three of their remaining games. If the Spurs win one of their last two, Portland only has to win one. If the Spurs win both, Portland have to win both. And I kind of feel like Blazers-Suns play-in tournament might be like one of the most fun ones, right? But I just don't think we can get it. It's going to be tough. Tough. But it does mean we are going to have a play-in, so obviously. Fascinating to see what's going to happen. Right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend, though.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Ooh, Donny Mitchell and his porn. That's an improved performance of the weekend, isn't it? Good on him. Goes back to his hotel room, got to smash one out. Donovan Mitchell smashing his own back out in Orlando. Who would have thought about it? But anyway, his 35 versus Denver was awesome. 5 of 16 from 3, though. 12 of 33 overall. Got it going when it counted. Just hit some insane shots. I love it, but man, come on. 35 on 33 shots. Kobe. So we're going to give this to double winners. Dame Lillard, 51 versus the Sixers today. He was absolutely incredible. 16 of 28 from the floor. 4 of 12 from 3. Only misses one of his 16 free throws. Dropped 18 in the fourth quarter to seal it. Come on, man. 51, 3, and 7 on 16 of 28 shooting is fucking insane. That's his 10th career 50-point game. I love Dame. That was awesome. Luka, though, as well, against the Milwaukee Bucks. 36 points, 14 rebounds, and 19 assists. Absolutely incredible. Against the Bucks with Giannis. Jesus. 12 of 24 shooting, 3 of 9 from 3. The absolute cream on the top, though, was the through-the-legs pass that basically gave this award to Luka this week. Because I was sitting on the couch, old mate's there, the squid's there. Luka drops that between-the-legs pass, the open dunk, absolutely fucking insane. I yell. The kid is like, what the fuck? Old mate's like, Jesus, can you fucking keep a lid on? I'm like, but did you see that? And she's like, wow, that was pretty good. So Luka got the old mate stamp of approval. The squid's like, this is fucking great fun. How good's basketball? And I loved it. So good job, Luka. Good job, Dame. And commiserations to Donnie Mitchell. But still, amazing stuff. They're the NBA Australia approved performances of the weekend. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, I guess the Clippers won't be buying any of Dame Lillard's rap CDs. like they're buying CDs anymore. But Paul George should know better. What is he, like 3 of 22 all-time in clutch situations? Get the fuck out of here, Paul George. But really, old mate, no mates. I love a bit of back and forth. Dame, Pat Bev, Paul George. It's just a shame that we probably won't get a Clippers-Portland series. That's a shame. But I would very much like a Portland-Lakers series. Just a really good color matchup too. But really, old mate, no mates this week goes to Buddy Hield. I mentioned this, I think, on Thursday or Friday. He had 11 minutes in a blowout win over New Orleans, then 20 minutes in a loss to Brooklyn when he was actually sort of, they basically needed offense. He was 6-16, couldn't get going. 25 minutes in a big loss today against Houston. And so he was 6-11. You've got 25 minutes. He's done. It's over. No more Buddy in Sacramento. Vlade is going to stay in charge. The guy who put this shit show of a roster together, which is incredible. And they're going to trade Buddy for fucking who knows what. But tough scenes for Buddy. Feel like he could really succeed, especially in a spot like that in Sacramento where the expectations are little. He got paid and they don't seem to like him. So that's a definite old mate, no mate. What about Spud of the Night, though? What do you reckon about this one?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Look, there's a couple of options for Spud of the Night. What do you like? Anthony Davis and Kuzma combining for 6 to 28 shooting, 3 of 14 each, 1 of 9 from 3 combined against the Pacers. You know, the Pacers who were led by Miles Turner and Goga. Get him, Goga. He was amazing in his 12 minutes. The big Georgian. Jesus, 7 points. He was unreal. Held AD in check. Fucking love that. But yeah, Anthony Davis and Kuz go 3 of 14 each. LeBron's out there carrying the team, 31-8-7. Kuz and AD stink up the joint, sput it up. The best part was they got out-sputted by another pair of teammates, Lonzo Ball and Jrue Holiday. Your starting backcourt of a team desperate to make the playoffs. Today, go, look, I'd rather not make the playoffs. Actually, thank you. And combine to go 2 of 22. 2 of 22. 2 of 22. Thank you, Richie. 2 of 10 for Lonzo. 2 of 12 for Jrue. 0 of 4 for Lonzo from deep. 0 of 5 for Jrue. Just horrifyingly bad showings from the Pelicans. The rest of the Pelicans, look, JJ was awesome. Zion was fine. Spindles Ingram, 6 of 14 for his typical, usual, forgettable 17 points. But, you know, still the Kevin O'Connors of the world will blow smoke up his fucking ass.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's really good. Look how amazing he is.
Yeah, cool. We'll carry a team to a fucking win in an actual must-win situation. Spindles. Anyway, Lonzo and Jrue, Spuds of the Night. Panting of the night, DJ Augustine, Make America Gordon Again. Oh, Gordon Hayward, MAGA Hayward, gave DJ Augustine the old, oh, blocked by James treatment, which is incredible. That's a bit of a panting for DJ when you're getting blocked by a MAGA fucking hat-wearing Gordo. Tobias Harris scored a bucket for Portland today in Sixers Portland, which is pretty incredible. Off a Dame pass, he knocked it up in the air and it went in. That's a bit of a pantsing. But really, Sacramento and the Pelicans in the bubble in general, they've been completely fucking out of it. The Pelicans really just underprepared, overwhelmed, underachieving. Not just Zion, but Spindles, Lonzo, Hart, Jrue. They've just looked uninterested at times. They've looked completely out of it. I don't know what it is. Is it coaching? They haven't had Jeff Bezdelic, their defensive coach, or anything. He opted out of the return, but they've just been bad. I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on. Their defense has been shit. Zion has been bad, and there you go. You're going home. So, good on you. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball. Oh, well, not second finally. There you go.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody as long as everybody is shooting better than 3 of 17 for the weekend. Isn't that right, Lonzo? 3 of 17. Jesus. Lonzo has been absolutely fucking horrible in the bubble. Wouldn't mind pointing that out. And you know me. Look, I'm loathe to point it out when Lonzo is shit. But in the bubble, so far, Lonzo has not put a good foot forward, you know? Just saying. He has basically shit the bed in almost unprecedented fashion. 5.8 points a game on 27% shooting from the floor, 22% from three, and 33% from the free throw line. Oh, boy. I mean, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What the fuck is going on, Lonzo? And that is, you know what that is? It's actually without today's stats against the Spurs, where he did the just gross, horrible 2 of 10 shooting. So, Lonzo, fucking train wreck. So, better than Lonzo Ball, Tyler Hero. There goes my Tyler Hero. 25-8-10 against Phoenix. He was amazing. Went toe-to-toe with Devin Booker as a rookie. 10-16, he went from the floor. 1-4 from 3. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. Hot damn. Had 24-5 against Milwaukee on Saturday as well. Great stuff, Tyler Hero. Don't forget, Donovan Mitchell, in the same draft class as Lonzo, just dropped the 35-6-8, as mentioned. Went hammer and tongs against Denver basically by himself with Jingling Joe Ingles. Tossing dimes, dropping threes. Classic jingler. But yeah, Lonzo, absolute fucking train wreck. Don't know what about it is about the bubble. Maybe he just needs to be around his psycho dad, but still. Finally, dickhead of the weekend.
Dickhead of the week.
And Nets beat writer Greg Logan is getting fucking dunked on Twitter. He's an old fucker who's done what? The Nets for Newsday. Basically a newspaper that old people read. Basically, he's just an old fuck, you know. He released all his ballots on Twitter and got dunked on. Left Rudy Gobert off his Defensive Player of the Year voting. Put Andre Drummond and Hassan Whiteside on there. Greg, mate, that's just fucking stupid. Luka is on the All-Defensive First Team because Greg apparently has not watched basketball ever. Luka's not bad at defense. He's also not that good. And his All-NBA teams have no Dame Lillard but do have Trae Young, Andre Drummond, and Brandon Spingles Ingram on the second team. So, Greg, you're the dickhead of the weekend because apparently the NBA give fucking ballots, MVP ballots, award ballots to people who don't watch basketball. Greg, blow it out your ass. You're the dickhead of the weekend. All right, yeah, Nas, right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs. These are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. If you're in Melbourne specifically and under lockdown, mate, there's only one way to survive that, right? That's by getting booze delivered to your door. Sample, Dos Blocos, Dos XPA. Love the beers at thedailyliquor.com. And if you enter the code STRAYA, all caps, they're chucking a free six-pack. I'm not shitting you. They're going to give you a free six-pack of Dos XPA if you just enter the code STRAYA. It is delicious and it's free. I can barely leave the fucking house. I got an hour. I've already been out with the squid today. I can't do anything else. Like, I literally can't do anything else today. So, go get some free beers, would you? Use the code STRAYA, all caps, at thedailyliquor.com. Thank me later. All right, yeah, Nas, we're going to take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. We asked this one on Friday. Number one, are the Sixers toast? Yeah, nah. Yeah, they are now. I mean, with Embiid and healthy, like, without Simo, they weren't going to go far, but it would have been fun. Now it's just sad. Look, Embiid will probably be bounced back, hopefully. Hopefully this, you know, the ankle isn't too bad. Hopefully he's back in a couple of games. Hopefully he makes it back for the playoffs. But Jesus, that's just fucked, isn't it? Thinking of this, should the Sixers right now trade Al Horford for Buddy Hield? Everyone's been throwing this one around all weekend. Yeah, nah, I mean, fuck yeah, in a heartbeat. You'd do that if you're Philly. Horford's barely worked. And there were, like, this is probably the worst part about this entire Sixers experiment this year. They get Horford because they're like, look, we need more and more size and length to combat the Bucks. Let's get Horford. We'll throw up a wall. Let's see fucking Giannis drive through this. And it's just not going to happen. And that sucks. Yeah. Another one. We asked this on Friday again. Now, should the Lakers be worried? Yeah, nah. 2-4 in the bubble, but nah. They've lost 3 straight, but nah. As long as they get to the playoffs healthy, And as I mentioned on Friday, I think, get the shooting woes out of the road now. You know, the time to have the fucking shooting slump is right now in the bubble when you've already locked up the number one seed and it's not going to matter shit. So do it. Anyway, should the Pelicans fire Elvin Gentry? Yeah, nah. Oh. I love Elvin Gentry because there's the apocryphal story of, like, you know, in the Black Lives Matter protest marches, like, dude firing up a blunt and someone saying, oh, man, you got that good weed over there. And it was Elvin Gentry. Amazing stuff. I feel like you're going to have to give Elvin Gentry another year, though, aren't you? Especially without Jeff Bezdelic in the bubble with you and your defense is a bit shit. Give them this shortened off season. See if they can get Spindle, Zion, and co. working together and give it a shot. But yeah, their defense has been shit. And a lot of that is Zion. So speaking of which, do you reckon Zion just went a bit hog wild on his 2 weeks out of the bubble? Yeah, nah. I mean, fuck yes. You know? He definitely fucking looks like it. And they never really disclosed where he went or what it was for. But he's from North Carolina, and you do get the feeling that Zion may have just gone home. Just really, really gotten stuck into the Bojangles, Waffle House, all the North Carolina specials. Because look, as a fat bastard myself, anyone with a bit of girth is basically two-week stints. Well, you know, a two-week stint away from being just legit fat fuck, you know? Like, I'm a fat prick as it is, and I still have to fucking watch what I eat, exercise a bit. And if I just went fuck it for 2 weeks, like, it's over. Like, we're talking chins. My defensive effort would go out the fucking window as well. I mean, if Zion fucking gave it up for 2 weeks, which it very much feels like he has, he's out there fucking panting, winded, and I'm just like, dude, you go back and look at all these Duke fucking highlights, and it's, you know, he's shredded. He's fucking jumping, literally bursting out of his shoes, blocking three-point shots. He's just, it's all that gumbo, man. Just saying, but still, tough scenes there for Zion, tough scenes. Hopefully he gets to spend this offseason just fucking shredding. Anyway. And finally, look, anyone who listens to this on the reg knows this is one of my pet peeves. Should Luka have been considered for most improved player? Yeah, nah. Look, this is a close one because I think the jump from good to great is super hard. From really good all-star player to legit franchise superstar is really fucking hard. But at the same time, the hill that I will die on is that if you're a top five pick, you shouldn't be considered for most improved player. Like, there's a reason you're a top five pick. You're supposed to be fucking good. It's not called the living up to expectations award, you know? Meanwhile, Devontae Graham goes from 4.7 points, 2.5 assists a game, to 18.2 points, 7.5 assists in just over double the minutes per game. It doesn't make top three because Spindles Ingram, a top two pick for the fucking Lakers, in his goddamn fourth year, finally, ups his fucking scoring average like 3 and a bit? Like, what are we doing here? It's absolutely fucking insane. You're 4 years in, Spindles. You averaged 18 points a game last year. You actually shot worse this year. Fuck off. Give Devontae a look in. Meanwhile, yeah, Luka is a fucking gun and is like an MVP candidate and is incredible. But wow. Like, he just fucking steps in and just goes, hey, guess what? I'm Luka Doncic. I'm really fucking good. And everyone's like, oh, shit. So he is. Fucking hell. So, good stuff, Luka. Don't know if he should have been like right there. But still, he did improve a lot. Anyway, Spindle shouldn't. If you're a top five pick, you're not allowed to. Bam should probably win this. Sorry, Devontae. That sucks. All right. Unpopular opinion of the day. That could probably count as one, but still, let's do another one, eh?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Not only should the NBA have a play-in tournament every year, but tell you what, they should get rid of the six worst teams at the All-Star break as well. Oh, yes. Let's do it. Let's literally make it an all-star break where we break and now it's only all-stars and good teams from here on in. Because how fucking good has the bubble been? Because there haven't been eight shit teams stinking up the joint. Now, if we go 24 teams to the last quarter of the season of the playoff race, make it a play-in tournament for 7 through 12 in each conference, as I've explained before, give 7 and 8 a bye, make 9 through 12 play each other in a mini tournament. Winners get through to play 7 and 8 for the 7-8 spots in the playoffs, and away we go. But just think about how much more this would motivate the shittest teams and their owners if they suddenly have their arena revenue cut by a fucking quarter. So move the All-Star break back a bit. So it's like, I don't know, 56 to 60-odd games into the season. And then we have the home stretch run where we only have good basketball. Fuck yes! Give me that. Hook that to my veins. It's bubble-rific all the time. Fuck yes. Ah, man, that'd be good, wouldn't it? We'd never have to watch Detroit again. But tell me that wouldn't work. Tell me wouldn't more people wouldn't be tuning in, especially on the national broadcast as well. You'd be making more money. You can sell that for more to the national networks. Yeah. Detroit might lose a quarter of their arena revenue, but fucking be better. Talk about fucking putting a stop to tanking. Bang, fixed it. All right, let's go to Outback Takehouse for today as well. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Yes, Davo has hit an emu, and he's holding Rodeo Ute on the way into work. So up there on the specials board, Alice Springs Chicken, only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is, judging from his gargantuan rig, Zion Williamson isn't just an empty calorie guy. With a minus 58 in his 5 games so far in the bubble, the big fella's also an empty stats bad team guy. Only at Outback. Yeah, look, it's only 20-odd games into his career, so. But it is weird. Pelicans have a positive plus minus when Zion's not out there. When he is on the court, minus 58. He's only playing 20 minutes a game. That's a lot. Fucking hell. Tough scenes there for Zion. All right, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch and the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, and the game previews right after, let's say, I don't know, this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, quick Australian Player Watch for you this week because we got two did not play coaches decisions for Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills, and Aaron Bangers Baines are still coming back from having the Rona and did not play against Miami for the Phoenix Suns. So we only had, and obviously Big Simo Ben Simmons is out injured, as mentioned, leaving the bubble to go get his knee looked at. So it leaves Aussie Matty T, Matty Tybal, Matisse Tybal on the Sixers. 21 minutes on Lando on Saturday. 2 points, 1 of 2 shooting, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks and 2 steals. I reckon Matisse has got to be right up there in terms of all guards in block numbers. He is a fucking legit menace. 33 minutes against Portland today, 2 points, 1 of 3 shooting, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals and a block again. See, blocks. Tell you what, as well as only 2 turnovers. Good job, Matty T. But Jingling Joe Ingles had one of a weekend. I'll tell you what, 17 minutes against San Antonio. This was the game where they rested everybody. Jingler has not missed a game in something like 380-odd games. Only played 17 minutes, went 4 of 8 from the floor in that time. 4 of 6 from 3. He was fucking lighting it up. 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and then in the loss to Denver, that insane game between Utah-Denver. 46 minutes for the Jingling one, 11 points, hit some beautiful 3s late, 3 of 7 from downtown, 4 of 9 overall. One off a career high with 13 assists, or maybe 2 off. Can't remember. Anyway, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 turnovers. Unbelievable stuff from Jingler Joe Ingles. Always out there crushing it. Let's just quickly check his career high. It's either 14 or 15, but it's all right. Because 13 is still pretty fucking good, I'll tell you what. Now, Jingler Joe Ingles' career high for assists is 14. There you go. Very close. Right. Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. It is Monday. That's what we do on Mondays. So let's do that one. It's the first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba. Outstanding achievement here. clap it up, because it is one of the greatest to ever play the game. Bubble MJ, the bubble god, TJ motherfucking Warren. In 1 week, the bubble god dropped 53 on the Sixers, 34 on Washington, 32 on Orlando, a down game of 16 on Phoenix, 39 on LeBron and the Lakers, where he shot 15 to 22 and 5 of 8 from downtown. Absolutely crushing it. He is leading all scorers in the bubble. And absolutely, he shot 60% from the floor in the bubble. He's gone 69, nice, of 114 in his 5 games, including 20 of 36 from 3, only missed 2 of his 18 free throw attempts. Now, if that's not Grey Mamba-esque perfection and excellence, I don't fucking know what is. TJ motherfucking Warren is the GOAT. Just like Andrew Gay is the Grey Mamba. So, TJ Warren, Bubble MJ, gets the Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence for this week. Absolutely unreal. All right, let's go to the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Great one from Patty today. Really leaning into the I look fire, which is good, because it was Patty retweeting League Fitz, and League Fitz just saying, Pat is such a vibe. And it is a vibe of Patty. Patty is wearing a pair of awesome old white Chuck Taylors, I think, a pair of leopard print shorts, a bum bag slung across his shoulder, and a tie-dye shirt, tie-dye mask, and a pretty cool, what is that, beanie over his dreads? He's got the AirPods on and sunnies, carrying what almost appears to be a pair of Dally Ones in his hand, and just amazing. Patty, absolute legend. We love Patty Mills here. You know that. That's inspiring as fuck. Just looking at him. Good job, Patty. Good job. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow, though.
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How was your weekend?
Yeah, pretty good. Watched a shit ton of basketball. Drank a few too many beers, I'll tell you what, too. Jesus. Might join Zion in the gargantuan rig stakes. Anyway, these picks are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. They're always pretty good. We did 10 of 18 for the weekend. Pretty nice. Which means we're 536 correct picks out of 948 for the season. Not bloody bad, Jimmy. Not bloody bad at all. If only I had the money to back it up. God damn it. Anyway, let's have a look at some of the odds for tomorrow and make some picks. We've got some pretty good games. We've got OKC at Phoenix. I do get the feeling that OKC might rest a couple of people. But the on-fire Suns, they're unstoppable. And they are 4.5-point favorites against the OKC Thunder tomorrow. And you know what? I've got a feeling OKC going to rest a few people. So give me the Suns, -4.5. Unbelievable. Dallas are resting the Extreme Zingameal and Luka and a couple of other players against Utah tomorrow. So I'm going to take the Jazz. The Yaz, it's a soft J, -6.5. Dallas have nothing to play for at this point beyond just sort of staying in shape. They're locked into the 7th spot. Utah are fighting it out in the West. So I think Utah will go hammer and tongs and make sure to put this one away early. Toronto versus Milwaukee, two other teams that have nothing to play for. Toronto are underdogs by 5.5 against the Bucks tomorrow. And I tend to think that the supporting cast there in Toronto is actually substantially better than Milwaukee. And if they do play all their second stringers, Toronto should win. But the Bucks, I don't know. They are $1.41 favorites, 5.5-point favorites with the line. Maybe they're going to play Giannis a bit. Who knows? But give me the Raps +5.5. I think they'll stay close. And if Milwaukee pull the starters, I think the Raps could win that. Yeah. Pacers Heat, an absolute rip snorter of a game. Pacers are 2.5-point underdogs against the Heat. We have Jimmy Butler coming back for the Miamis. They are 2.5-point favorites. I think I'll take Indy. I think TJ Warren might take it personally and go hammer and tongs against his nemesis Jimmy Butler. And if Butts is back and healthy, Miami ideally would be a little bit more dangerous, but at the same time, they're on a bit of a roll at the moment. Jimmy Butler might be a bit of a spanner. So give me the Pacers +2.5. And finally, Nuggets Lakers. The Nuggets are somehow 5.5-point underdogs, which has got to be like injuries or resting against the Lakers. I kind of want to take the underdog. I think this is like a big underdog day. because I feel like we're going to have some Laker rest. Yeah. Nuggs might actually take this chance to, you know, get a bit of rest in their dudes as well, but same time, Nuggs don't give a fuck. Lakers, look, they might want to try to snap their losing streak, but at the same time, who gives a fuck? 5.5 points is a lot. The Denver second stringers anyway, pretty tough. The Lakers, that roster is thin as shit, so give me Denver plus 5.5. Fuck it. I mean, they are pretty much locked into the 3 spot, but Houston right there, ahead of OKC in 4-5. And the Jazz are only a half game behind the Thunder, so there you go. So, recap, Phoenix minus 4.5, because they have to win out. OKC, look, they will probably play everybody, but Phoenix are unstoppable at the moment. Utah will smoke Dallas without any of their good players. Toronto, I still feel like even second stringers, they might keep it close, 5.5 plus, 2.5 plus for Indy. That's for all the marbles, Indy, Miami. It doesn't really matter. But they're going to stay up on the Sixers and Denver, plus 5.5. So there you go. Remember, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Get your bets in. Remember, gamble responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. And that's it for today. Legendary. We're back tomorrow with all the usual dumbassery. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We'll have the socials, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Get a hoodie or a t-shirt. Stubby holder, whatever. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. That helps out. Come on, do it. You've got nothing better to do. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats, their debut album, even. Running Out of Time is out now, and it's awesome. Big thanks also to Joshua Delarena's Fascinated, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J Unearthed, Facey. Support them when they can't play shows at the moment. Goldmines have actually got their debut album up for pre-sale. So go check out Goldmines. They're fucking awesome. You hear them every day during the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. They're unreal. I fucking love them. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a daily review. Remember, get around the dailyliquor.com as well. All caps, Australia. Get a free sixer. And daily review today, Frozen 2. Should be awesome. Unreal. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying... Look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen! Oi, oi, oi! How the fuck are you? It's Joe May Deli over here, just popping by from the latest pop culture review, eh? I'm gonna tell ya! Watching all my mates have a bit of fucking fun down in Orlando while we're stuck up here in fucking Cleveland is starting to shit me up the wall, tell you what. So I finally bit the bullet and got onto me mate Don A. Exum. You remember, he's been living in our fucking guest house since he got traded here to Cleveland. And I'm like, Don A., come on with some theme park rides through our backyard, you dickhead. And I love this idea, right? So far, all bloody Don A.'s done is run a fucking hose and some washing detergent on a tarp down the lawn and throwing the squid down it a couple of times. Which, look, the squid fucking loved it. Then I loved it too, because I had to go. Look, you know, that's what we used to do all the time back home in Maryborough during the summers. But I'm like, Donnie, mate, we've got a fucking pool and a water slide. Surely you can fucking do better. And since then, he just sort of mumbled up about dressing like Pirates of the Caribbean and shit, and then gone to punch more cones and play more Fortnite. So, fucking Donnie, I tell you what. Bit of a bust there, I tell you. Anyway, so look, your pop culture review this week got hijacked again by the missus. We sat down for Saturday night movies and some tins, and I'm like, maybe ready for some Hobbs and Shaw again and shit. And she's like, nah, fuck you, Deli, you dickhead. I'm bloody sick of Fast and the Furious and Fast and the Furious spin-offs. We're watching fucking Frozen 2. And I'm like, ah, fuck, here we go. But I gotta tell ya, just like Frozen 1, wasn't fucking half bad, was it? Like, I mean, I still barely fucking know what was going on. Like, there's just a lot going on. Like, something about spirits, and, like, a dam, and a horse. Like, also, one of the sisters that was DTF was cool AF, and, like, the one that wasn't, she got, like, frozen or something? I don't know. It's like, when do they start singing? Are they singing? Oh, they're singing. And then you're like, oh, these songs aren't as good as in the first one. Because I kept, like, singing, let it go, let it go. And Don A, every time we play one-on-one in the driveway, and I stole it from him, which is all the time, because I'm funny as fuck. But yeah, look, I mean, if you're after a bit of a laugh and maybe a good time for the kids, you know, maybe just settle the missus down, fuck it, you could do a lot worse. And I mean, don't listen to my missus or Donna. I didn't fucking cry when shit got sad, I fucking promise. Dickheads, shit. Anyway, so Frozen 2 gets like 18 out of 10 deli ones because it's just a good old Disney romp, isn't it? I mean, it's no Lion King or nothing, a bit like what is. So, yeah. There you go. That's it for me for this week. I'll catch you next week for another pop culture review. Later, fuckers. Deli out.